Chapter 9. In truth, it felt pretty neat sitting in the back of the police cruiser with Marina, separated from the cop driving us by a big slab of bulletproof glass. I mean, I kind of liked the idea of getting in trouble for something that was a worthy cause. I knew that our parents would understand. The cop thought we were just a couple of goofy kids. He said, "Look, I don't know what you were up to, but Gibson didn't press charges. You were lucky. Just don't go back." Marina tried to explain about the dead Mercancers, about the heavy metals, but the cop waved his hand in the air. "You kids watch too much TV," he said, which was pretty funny because Marina and I watched almost no TV. Marina got dropped off first. The policeman told her mother what it was all about. She looked at me, still sitting like a prisoner in the back of the car. She must have thought it was all my fault. I could hear her say to the cop, "She's never been in any trouble before, ever." And suddenly I got worried that we had screwed up, that her parents might not let her see me again. This got me pretty worried. Dad didn't act the way I expected he would act either. He stood silently while the officer recounted our crime. "Get in the house," was all my dad said to me. Inside, he sat me down in his little office. He was wringing his hands. I could tell he was upset and mad, but trying to control himself. "I thought I told you to stay away from that place." "You did, but I had a good reason. They've got a leak. It's getting into the groundwater and killing birds." I handed him a copy of a lab report. My father didn't take it right away. He seemed confused. Then he took a deep breath and looked me straight in the eye. He took the report, scanned it, then looked at me. "You showed this to Gibson?" "Yeah, Marina and me." "And he threw you out on your butts?" "He called in the police. You're lucky he didn't have you locked up." "So what do you think I should do next?" My father looked away from me and out the window at the sparrows in his bird feeder. He didn't say anything at all. Then my mother came into the room and sat down on the desk beside him. "I think now is as good a time as any to discuss it," she said to my dad. I didn't know what it was. "Discuss what?" I asked. My father sucked in a gulp of air and scratched his arm. He was just about to say something but couldn't seem to get it out. Instead, Mom did it for him. "Chris, your father and I have decided that we should move." "What?" I shouted, jumping out of my chair. "There's no work for me here, Chris, and nobody in the Department of the Environment or any other government agency is going to give me a job. When I stood up against the dump site years ago, they got worried. They tolerated me when I protested the dump in the first place. Then the expansion. But when I made a case against including an incinerator, they all decided I was out of the club. It's lousy, but that's the way it is. Time to cut my losses and leave." "Yeah, but it's not just you. Your father thinks there's a better chance out west. More opportunity. It will be a gamble, but there's no reason for us to stay here." "I love it here," I found myself shouting back. But I have to admit, right then I wasn't thinking about the land or the harbor. I was thinking about Marina. My mother seemed pretty uncomfortable, and what came out next didn't sound all that convincing. "You'll learn to love it out there. Maybe we can move someplace with mountains." "Big deal. Be reasonable," my father said, trying to sound very cool about everything. "I mean, look what's happening to us ever since the landfill went in. Look at you today, coming home with a police escort. We have to get away from here." I think that for the first time since I was 12 years old, I wanted to hit my old man just then. I wanted to hit him hard and knock him down on the floor. Here I had just made one of the biggest moves of my life. Marina and I had gone to confront Gibson to make a stand against the system, and now my father was telling us it was time to tuck our tails between our legs and run away. What a bunch of losers. "I'm not going," I said. I got up to leave the room. I was going to go for a walk in the woods, but my mom grabbed me by the arm. "Please, Chris, there's more." What more could there be? My old man squirmed uncomfortably in his chair. "Remember, I made a bid on that new consulting work for the Department of the Environment?" "Yeah, you were never given a chance. I know that. I was stupid to expect they'd forgive me for bucking the system in the past. So what's that have to do with this?" "You didn't really think you'd get it. You said so." "Right, but I didn't even know what I was applying for. The specs were pretty vague. But I talked with some of my old colleagues this week, and what I found out has a lot to do with why we're moving." I looked at my mother. She was in on this. Whatever it was, she already knew. "The regional authority," Dad said, looking away from me and now and back out at the bird feeder, "had applied for permission to put in a second burner, another incinerator. They want to burn chemical waste from factories that can't dispose of their crude in any other way." "But they can't do that," I shouted again. "They'll screw up the same way with another incinerator, only this time it will be worse. It really sucks. It's chemical suicide for the air and for the harbor. We'd be crazy to stay living here," he said. "But it doesn't make any sense," I said. "Marina and I have evidence, and they can't even deal safely with the ash from the incinerator now. We've got lab reports on 4 dead Mergensers to prove it. You saw for yourself. Chris, you don't have to persuade me, but Environment has already given them the go-ahead. They had a consulting report saying it will be safe. It was a setup, but the facts don't matter. It will mean big money for the regional authority. It will mean more jobs, and that report is all they needed. They even claim the clay liner in the dump is capable of containing any contaminant from the ash. But that's not true. Anybody with eyes could go there and see what a disaster the place is. But most people don't go there," my mom said. "Most people never see the landfill or the incinerator. The people who make decisions just see reports, and they assume that reports are factual." "I've read hundreds of these studies, Chris. A good bullshitter can make black look like white, and white look like Agent Orange. So we expose it for what it is. We tell everybody the truth." "You're forgetting," Mom said. "Everybody who cared, most people who fought the landfill anyway, has already gone. We should have left too. We just didn't have anywhere to go to. There's big money in it for the regional authority. They get paid handsomely for disposing of what nobody else will touch. Some people around here will think this could turn into a really big money-making industry. But there must be laws, something that could stop this." "Yes and no," Dad said. "There are enough loopholes that this project can go through, and soon there's not just enough local oppositions. The regional authority already has signed a deal with Dial Chemical. They plan on shipping the stuff by large downriver and along the coast, then up the harbor to the site. I guess they're going to use the old government fishing wharf that's been sitting there wasting away. From what I hear, they're going to start stockpiling the waste there on site even before the second stack is built. It's all going to happen pretty quickly. It was too much for me all at once. The name of Dial Chemical rang like a gunshot through my head. That was the company Marina's father had worked for. I hung my head and found myself squeezing my palms against my forehead. My mom put an arm around me. "We're sorry, Chris. We know you care, and we know what you were trying to do today. It's just too late. It's time to move." But while my parents were already packed and gone in their mind, I was still dead center here in my home. I wasn't ready to give up. My father gave my lab report back to me with that all-too-familiar look of defeat. "Heavy metals might only be the beginning," he said. "Dioxin, BCBs, stuff that we haven't even begun to do research on? "And you'd better know this," he said, pointing to the lab report. "The company that did the new assessment for importing waste was Quality Research Limited. The guys who worked at Quality Labs, the ones who tested your birds, they're all part of the same organization. But now Gibson will have been on the horn to them. Don't be surprised if they're not too helpful to you from here on."